This is a reading of the second mystery drama by Rudolf Steiner entitled The Soul's Probation. This is scene 7. A room within the castle, which in scene 6 was viewed from outside. It is decorated with symbols of a mystic brotherhood. First, the knights are shown during a meeting, then the monk with one of the knights. Later there appear the spirit of Benedictus, who has died 50 years earlier, Lucifer and Armon. The Grand Master with 4 knights are gathered along a long table. Grand Master, you have become companions to me in search of mankind's future goals. We are directed by our order's precepts to bring these aims from spirit regions into the realm of earth activity. So loyally stand by me now, within this hour of grave concern. Our venerable leader fell a victim to those powers of darkness which draw their strength from evil, and yet promote the plan of wisdom by opposition's force. This plan seeks to convert the evil into good. But since our leader's death, our earthly strivings are in vain. Our enemies have overthrown already many a castle of our brotherhood. And fighting, many of our valiant brothers have followed the great master into the bright realms of eternity. For us, too, the hour is close at hand when these protecting walls must fall. Our enemies are spying out the means by which they can take hold of our possessions. These we've surely not acquired for profit, but as a means to gather round us people into whose souls we can implant seeds for the future. These seeds will ripen in their souls when out of spirit realms they find their way into a later life on earth. First Master of Ceremony. Our order must endure whatever dark design our destiny has yet in store. This one can understand. But that in perishing our whole community must sweep with it so many brothers' individual lives seems an injustice in the light of cosmic laws. My lips will not complain, for manfully our brothers died, but still my soul desires to understand the sacrifice required of a man united with a group, when powers of destiny have doomed that group to its destruction. Grandmaster, the individual's separate life is linked most wisely with the cosmic plan. Among our brothers, one proves often able to serve our order with its spirit forces, although his life is not unblemished. His erring course of heart and mind will find atonement through the sufferings he has to bear in service to the whole. On him who bears no guilt from his own deeds, yet has to walk the thorny path marked out by karma for our order, pain will bestow new strength to raise himself to higher life. First Master of Ceremony. Then does our order tolerate within itself men also, lacking purity of soul, who consecrate themselves to its high goals? Grandmaster, the one who works devotedly for lofty aims, he weighs the good alone in souls of men, and he allows the bad to find atonement within the course of cosmic justice. I've summoned you, my brothers, in these our days of grief, in order to recall to you with earnest words that it behooves us joyfully to die for goals to which we pledged ourselves to dedicate our lives. In the truest sense you are my brothers, when in your souls resound courageously our order's words of consecration. The separate life and being must be sacrificed by him who would set eyes on spirit goals through sense-world revelation, who would, with courage, dare to pour into his individual will the Spirit's power of will. First Preceptor, most worthy Master, if you would test the hearts of all our brothers, in clearest echo will resound to you those words of consecration. But we would hear from your own lips how to construe the fact that with our lands and lives the enemy robs us of souls as well, whom with our love we nurtured. For every day makes it more clear our people will surrender to the victors, not only through compulsion, but through the hate our foes have taught them against the spirit path which we have shown. Grandmaster, what we have planted in their souls indeed may for the present die, but those who breathed our spirit light will come again, and then bestow upon the world what we intended in our work. Thus to my spirit from realms of death our mighty leader often speaks, when I descend in hours of silence into my inner depths, and forces then awaken to hold me in the spirit land. I feel the presence of our leader then, and hear his words as often I have heard them in earthly life. He does not speak of our work's ending, but of fulfillment of our goals in later days on earth. The Grand Master and two knights go out, while two remain. First Preceptor. He speaks of spirit worlds in just the way that others speak of villages and towns. To me this manner is oppressive, in which our consecrated brothers talk of other regions of existence. Yet I am sternly bound to all our earthly aims. Second Master of Ceremony. I hold fast to our Master's words. The one who cannot hear with full belief the truth of spirit and of spirit worlds, he does not lack capacity to grasp such revelation. The things he lacks are of a different nature. If he does not feel worthy of belonging to the higher worlds, he can well sense it, but he would like to hide it from himself. A soul that has some hidden stains and must deceive itself about them can never yield itself to spirit knowledge. They go out. The monk appears in the same hall and is met by the second preceptor. Second preceptor, what brings you here into this house, which you consider enemy domain? Monk, I must include among my friends all those who bear the countenance of man. This is our stringent rule. Yet hostile may quite well appear to you what duty bound I am obliged to claim. I'm here at my superior's behest. They want, by peaceful means, the land restored to them, belonging to the church by reason of old deeds. The piece of ground you made into a mine remains, in fact, our church's legal property. The way in which you have acquired the land can never be upheld before the law. Second Preceptor, whether by law we call it ours or not, the judges might dispute for a long time. It nonetheless belongs to us in light of higher justice. The piece of ground was undeveloped soil when it was purchased by our order. It was unknown to you that under it rich treasures lay concealed. We've won them by and for the work of men. Today these treasures travel to far distant places to further human progress, and many honest people work within the mine shafts of that ground, which when you held it was plain wilderness. Monk, then you do not consider it your duty that you prevail upon your order to reach a peaceful understanding with us and satisfy our rights? Second Preceptor, since we are not aware of any guilt, nay, more are certain of our rights, we'll calmly wait to see if you will feel obliged to add injustice to your cause. Monk, you must ascribe it to your stubborn will, if we are now compelled to other means. Second Preceptor, the honor of our order demands that only on the battlefield can it be robbed of its fair rights. Monk, so then my mission is fulfilled, and we can save all further words. Would it be possible to see the master who gives orders here? Second Preceptor, he very likely will be at your service, but I must ask you, wait a little while. He cannot come at once. He goes out. Monk, alone. Oh, that my office forces me to enter the hall of this most hateful order. On every side my eye encounters these devilish designs and sinful images. An agonizing horror grips me. It's crackling. Oh, it's rumbling through the hall. I feel how evil powers want to encircle me. As I am not aware of any sin, I bid defiance to the adversaries. The horror grows. Oh! The spirit of Benedictus appears. All good spirits, stand by me now. Benedictus, take heed, my son. I could draw near you frequently when fervent prayer transported you to spirit worlds. So hear with courage also in this hour what you must bring to clear cognition, if spirit light in place of darkness should now hold sway within your soul. Monk. When I begged earnestly for clarity in moments of distress, and my devoted prayer was granted hearing in the spirit land, then you appeared to me, great master, who was the glory of our order in days you lived on earth. You spoke to me from higher realms, illumining my sense and strengthening my power. My soul's eye could behold you, my spirit ear could hear you. And now, devoutly in this hour, I listen to the revelation which flows from you into my soul. Benedictus. You find yourself within that order's house, which you accuse of evil heresy. It seems to hate all that we love, and to revere what we deem sin. Our brothers hold themselves obliged to hasten the downfall of this sin against the Spirit. In this they are supported by words which formerly I spoke on earth. They do not dream these very words can only be renewed if they are nurtured for their further growth by those who are successors in my work. So let arise within your soul what I once thought in former days on earth, but now what it must be in view of a new age. The order here accepts its goals from occult heights. Look on it in that light, as I myself would do if I could walk among you actively within an earthly body. This order strives toward higher goals, and those who dedicate themselves to it divine already future times on earth. Their leaders see with a prophetic eye the fruits that ripen in a later age. Both science and men's way of life will change in form and aim. This order, whose persecution you support, now feels impelled to undertake the deeds which serve this change. And only when our brothers' aims unite for peaceful purposes with those the heretics pursue, can good in earthly progress blossom forth. Monk, the admonition you have found me worthy of, how can I follow it? It deviates most forcefully from all that in the past seemed right to me. Ahriman and Lucifer appear. What other beings now are drawing near? What wills them here and at your side? Ahriman. More counsel comes from other corners. You cannot deem it easy to obey your former master's warning. Just reflect that he is living in the realm of blessedness. What works toward law and duty there can only cause confusion for your present situation on the earth. Lift up your eyes into his heights when you seek comfort in the bliss which will be granted by world spirits to distant days on earth. But if at present you would act aright, be guided then alone by what your reason and your senses teach. You have succeeded well in fathoming these brothers' sin, which they must hide from all the world. It shows how their ideals can live quite well in sinful souls. Faced with the brothers' sly designing, how can you care to live in peace with them? For error is a barren soil. It does not let the good fruit ripen. Lucifer, your pious mind and heart have shown to you the right direction. The aims of every age transform themselves, but heretics should not lay out the future paths of men. The danger of this spirit order lies in its words that speak the truth. It may be given such a turn that makes the truth more dangerous than error. How foolish is the man who lives in the belief that when he shows his falsehood openly, all men will follow him as leader. The spirit knights are not so ill advised. Indeed, they speak about the immanence of Christ, because they know this name will open the portals leading to the souls of men. To capture for Christ's counter-image the hearts of men, you best must give this image the very name of Christ. Monk. They sound confusingly. From worlds of soul those voices often heard that always wished to fight what pious thought demands. How shall I find paths leading to the good if they are praised by powers of evil? It almost seems to me as if... No, May this word remain unthought. My leader, in his wisdom, will still guide me, so that the meaning of his words, now so obscure, will be disclosed to me. Benedictus, I can direct you to the rightful path, if you will permeate yourself in deepest soul with words which formerly I spoke on earth, and if you then will search for those words' power of life within the worlds in which you can behold me now, the rightful path will be revealed to you. The curtain falls while the monk, the spirit of Benedictus, Lucifer, and Ahriman are still present in the hall. End of scene 7.